So after, over the past several Sundays, we've been talking about individual aspects of the Christian life. We've talked about holiness, we've talked about worthiness, we've talked about getting rid of pride, lust, control, and doubt in our lives. And we've talked pretty much about just our individual Christian lives. What it means to walk in a relationship with Jesus Christ. The first part of walking in a relationship with Jesus Christ is that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we talked about what that means. You believe that Jesus separated the gap between God and people and made it okay with all of our sin and everything in between to have a relationship with God. Jesus did that. And once you have a relationship with God, we're talking about how you walk in a relationship with Jesus Christ, a daily walk. That means you put your money where your mouth is. That means you read the scriptures and you obey them. You follow them. That's living a life that Christ called us to live. And so we've been talking about a whole bunch of things about our individual Christian walk. But the Christian life was not meant to be done alone or in isolation. It was meant to be done in a community. Now, most of you probably are a part of many different communities. We just happen to fall into communities by many parts of our lives. For instance, this is a key verse to my whole thing, so let me back up, all right? Part of loving the Lord or following the Lord or living a life in Jesus Christ is loving the Lord with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, or whatever order you want to do it. It's the whole kit and caboodle. So communities, when you fall into communities, if you're on the PTA, instant community of moms who are over-controlling drinking coffee. I know I'm part of it, okay? PTA, it's a community that you can fall into if you are very concerned about your child's school. Other communities you can fall into, if you are a union worker, you automatically fall into a community of union workers. My dad has been in the Iron Workers Local 9 Niagara Falls Union for 53 years. They have the best picnics, I promise you that, and the worst softball players. But it is a community, it is a union that my dad has fallen into. Another community, if you're in the armed forces, you automatically connect with a group of brothers and sisters that's a community you might never experience again. You have that camaraderie of serving your country together. It's a tight community. Community, if you are a singer or you're part of a club at school where you have a special interest, it automatically kind of happens. Hey, I'm in the group, you're in the group, we have community together. We break out in song in the lunchroom and it's really cool. Or if you follow a band or you're part of a band, you have the community of being in a band together and it's a feeling that's wonderful that you've just kind of fallen into by your interests. If you're a Republican, you kind of fall in with other Republicans. If you're talking on the bus, you're going to end up probably sitting next to another Republican, especially it's election time, and you find community there. Same with the Democrats. If you start talking about issues or candidates, and you fall into that community with other Democrats. Book club. You're in a book club. You love the same author. You fall into community with a bunch of people who like to talk about books. Sports. Instantaneous community if you play on a sports team because you got the same goal. We're going to win. We're going to be together. We cheer on the bus. I mean, I haven't done it in a long time. I think it's what the movies show. You're like, rah, rah, and everyone's happy, and you're a big community of sports people. There's a community of Packers fans, and they're not just in Wisconsin. We have a lot of Packers fans. I'm glad Mike McDonald's not here today. We have a lot of Packers fans even in our community. And then we have Bears fans. The only difference between them really is the team. So how do we fall into these communities? Some of them are mandatory. We just fall into them because they're part of our jobs or task force that we have to be on. We just kind of have to do them. They're mandatory. Some of them are by convictions. We are so convicted by something, we have to join that political party, or we have to do that social rights coalition, or we have to join that awareness group because we're convicted by it. We want to belong to it. Sometimes it's about change. Change for a better environment, change for our anti-cruelty society, something that says, I'm so passionate about this, you just fall into a community of people who are like that. And sometimes it's based on similar interests. Bears, Packers, soccer, cooking, singing, instrument playing, cards, looking at antique cars, collecting World War II collectibles, teaching Sunday school fashion books. Whether it's work-related, hobby-related, or a means to change something you are passionate about, communities form because of a common bond. Just so recap there, okay, for those who need a visual. There you go, recap. Communities form over a common bond. Now imagine you're at a Bears game, okay? So it seems the majority of fans here are Bears fans. You're at a Bears game, and you show up to the Bears game. You're all colored up, you know, if you're a boy, your shirt's off, and you're all painted up. And you sit next to a stranger at the game who also is a Bears fan. He is all colored up. And by halftime, you have become the best of friends. You have talked about strategy. You have talked about the team. You've talked about the coach. You've talked about players. You're like, I have found my soulmate, this person right here. I just love them. And you're all together in community with them. So after the game, you say, hey, let's go out to the shooting range, shoot guns together. We'll get some brats and let's go vote Republican. The guy says, well, actually, I'm the vice president of PETA. We don't eat meat at all. I was born a Democrat, literally born a Democrat, and I'm against any type of gun firing of guns. Okay. Can community still happen between two very different Bears fans? Let's play a game right now. All right, it's called the Northside Scramble. All right, this is what we're going to do. Stay seated, and I ask you to stand up if you are whatever. So, and then you sit back down. So if I say, stand up if your favorite color is orange, you stand up, and then you sit back down. If standing and sitting is hard for you, just raise one or both hands or two. All right, I don't care. All right, stand up if you're white, Caucasian. What? That's not wrong. I made them do the work, Robert. Don't gripe. All right, sit down. Stand up if you like rap music. I'm standing for this because I actually, Eugenie, thank you, all right? Stand up if you are 40 or older. One more week, honey, one more week. All right, sit right down. Stand up if you attend, if you're in school right now, whether it's college, high school, whatever. All right, stand up. All right, stand up if you were born in another country. Oh, look at that. Look at that. All right, sit back down. Stand up if you were born in Illinois. Okay. Stand up if you are female. Okay, sit back down. Stand up if you play Xbox. All right. All right, sit back down. Stand up if you speak another language besides English. All right. Sit back down. Stand up if you vote Democratic. All right. Okay. Stand up if you play a sport or an instrument. I like to group those together for us musical slash sportsy people. Sit back down. Stand up if you like the Cubs. Stand up if you like the Sox. Oh. Thank you. We are all different, yet somehow the community here at Northside Church works. Why? Because our common bond and our passion for Jesus Christ trumps and outweighs all of our other differences. Can two Bears fans with differences have community? Only if the bond of being a Bears fan is greater than all the other differences. This afternoon, we're talking about Christian community. Community among people who found their faith in Jesus Christ and desire to follow him, loving him with their heart, their soul, their mind, and their strength. The Christian community has a name. It's called the church. And the word church is derived from the Greek word, that one right there, meaning belonging to the Lord. We belong to the Lord. We are a community. We are a church. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, "And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people." The most common Greek word for church is ecclesia. And the word references churches not just in Asia, churches in communities, churches in houses, churches in neighborhoods. And the whole idea is it's under one umbrella, the church, people who belong to God. How do we belong to God? Because Jesus Christ reconciled us to God. We are the church. We are community. Oh, don't look at that yet. Oh, don't look at him either. Okay, sorry. All right, here we go. The church is constituted of God's people. They belong to him and he belongs to them. This is possible through the work of Jesus Christ. And that is our common bond, that we're God's people. Therefore, when we talk about the definition of Christian community, we're talking about the church, all the believers, all the people. And every community, whether you're doing the PTA or you're doing a book club, has a leader. And it so happens to be, well, I won't tell you that. So let's talk about this. Communities have leaders. I'm going to show somebody. Tell me what he's the leader of. Oh, no. I'm going to tell you the team. Tell me what they're the leader of. A team. Who is the leader of the A team? Thank you. I'm glad I showed that because you're like most people there was. This guy. He's the leader of the A team. Who is the face and the leader of Facebook? Thank you, Sharon. Mark Zuckerberg. Eugenine, you'll know this one. Who is the leader in the face of the Chicago Public Schools Union? This lady, right? Isn't she the leader of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Karen Lewis. These are faces. These are leaders of communities. Who is the head of our community, the church? But he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that everything we might have, so he might have the supremacy. As a community, as a church, we are subject to Christ. We are under his leadership and under his authority. So what is a church or community as a believer supposed to look like? In order to know what our community is supposed to look like, we got to go to the Bible. We got to go to what God says our community is supposed to be and look like and do. Because God has specific intentions for this community that he's in charge of, that he's the head of, because we belong to him. So the first thing, the church is not a country club. It is not a country club. So today after church, if we decide to carpool, because we'll save money on gas, and we decide we're going to head down to the Metropolitan Club downtown to the country club to apply, because we're like, hey, let's become members of a country club. And we slap our $50,000 down each deposit on the table and ask for our picture to be taken for our ID badge for the country club. Surprisingly, we might come up with some resistance with this country club. This is from the website. The Metropolitan Club of Chicago is the most distinguished private business club where members may meet their friends and entertain their guests in comfortable surroundings while enjoying the finest food, libations, and personal service. By director of the Board of Governors, membership in the Metropolitan Club is by invitation only. All club facilities are for the use of members, their families, and guests. To ensure the perpetuation of a distinguished membership, invitees must be nominated by a member. What does that tell us? We might not be good enough for this community. I'll speak for myself. I'm not good enough for this community. But lo and behold, the church community is not a country club. Even though we are children and people of the King of Kings, Almighty God, the ruler of the universe, the church is not exclusive. Our community has an open invitation for anyone to join it. It doesn't matter how much money you have or don't have. It doesn't matter if you're popular or you're hated. And you don't need personal references other than you belong to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. The invitation to become one of God's people is an open offer to you and the world as long as you should live. Actually, inviting people into this Jesus club, into this community, into this church is not just okay, it's commanded by God that we invite people. The Jesus Club in Matthew 28, this is what their website would say. Therefore, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all of the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Some of Jesus' last words said, this is not a country club. This is not a closed group. There is always an invitation to get out there and have more people belong to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's so not a country club. Jesus also said this as some of his last words, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The invitation to be a part of this community, the church, is an open invitation. It's not a country club. So what's the application for us on that? There is no one too bad. There is no one too rich. No one too cool. Too busy, too famous, too much trouble, too time-consuming, that excuses us from extending an invitation to the community of believers. We are not a country club. We are to be people who are constantly looking for people to join the family of God, and that is a top priority of this community. So what else should our community be like? It should not be like American Idol. First thing you think of when you think of American Idol is what? Cut downs. I watched one show and I wanted to cry my eyes out of these young people standing up, singing their hearts out and having their dreams shattered. Now I know some of them get up there to sing because they just want to make it on TV and they know they're that bad. But there's some people who really are up there saying, is this my shot? And they're crashed and they're burned and they're disgraced in front of millions of people. That is not what the community of our church is about, of the church is about. The community of the church should be edifying. And edification is a mutual holding up and building up of each other, by each other. In this community, edification is everyone's job. It's not just the role of the pastor. It is everyone's job who is in community to build one another up. And this includes fellowship. And fellowship means holding all things in common. It means sharing life, sharing food, sharing money, sharing prayer concerns, experiences. 1 Corinthians 12:26 says this, if one member suffers, all suffer. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. That story I told you about, what happened with the young man here at Rogers Park Presbyterian. Guess what? Their church suffers, we suffer too. That's the body of believers. Something great happens in their congregation, guess what? We celebrate that too. Someone calls me on the phone and says their church is growing by 100 people and say we haven't grown at all. We celebrate that because that's the body. We do life together. We get excited for each other. We get sad for each other. We bear each other's burdens. Isn't it so great to know that somebody else will carry a burden that you feel like you're carrying on your own? We bear each other's burdens. We correct and rebuke, and this is the one that people don't always want to experience in a community of edification. I use this example a lot. If your kid was on a mountain walking backwards and didn't know the cliff was behind him, wouldn't you yell, stop? Wouldn't you yell, watch out? It's the same idea. You see a brother or Christian sinning, won't you yell, stop? Cut it out, even if that means they're not going to be your friend anymore because you care about the outcome of their life. That's what edification is. I care so much about the outcome of your life, I am not going to be silent about what's going on. Instruction and teaching, it's part of the community. It's not just the pastor's job. It's the idea that we teach each other. We tell each other what we've learned from scriptures. We act out what we've learned from scriptures. We have God stories. I wish Pam was here today. Pam always has a God story of God, how God has revealed himself to her this week. And you know, Pam's had a troubled couple of years. Decade. She's had a troubled decade. She always has a God story. And that's how we edify one another. We just keep sharing God stories. We say, yeah, he is there. He does care. He is around. He does hear. God stories. We use our gifts to serve. Unlike American Idol, they're looking for one specific American Idol to sing and wow a crowd. We say under the head of Christ, every gift is important and valuable in this congregation. And we couldn't do it without him, and we couldn't do it without her, and we couldn't do it without them. Every gift comes together to serve for the community, for the edification of the church. Community, the church, is to be a place where each other is built up, not torn down, not in isolation. So what's the application here for that one? Edification is one of the reasons you want community, and sometimes one of the reasons you don't want community, because with it comes the joys of sharing joys together. I saw baby Samuel's first steps with his mother in this aisle today. That's community. I can rejoice that a mom just saw her son take his first steps and I got to be a part of it. That's exciting. And sometimes that edification part, when someone comes to you and tells you, hey, You're doing something that's not a part of what God's plan would be for your life. That part's tough. And you have a choice there to accept that in love and say, yeah, you're right, help me, or to get mad and leave the community. That's not how it was meant to be. When you look at this list, is there something you've been neglecting in your community? Maybe doing life together. Maybe you've just been kind of isolated. Maybe it's bearing burdens. Maybe people have bared your burdens, but you haven't bared other people's burdens. Maybe you haven't allowed people to bear your burdens. Correcting and rebuking. Maybe you closed your eyes to some friends because you don't want to lose them as friends, and maybe you haven't accepted what your friends have told you. Instructing and teaching. Anybody can do this. It's just talking about what God has done in your life and using your gifts to serve. The body cannot work without you. The church is not the Oscars. I love the Oscars. Corey and I watch them every year. This year we watched them from the hospital, remember? And each year there seems to be more and more categories and more nominees and more special awards. And there's a whole lot of praise going on at the Oscars. Each nominee sits in their chair thinking, adore me, adore me. Let me be the winner today. Pick me, recognize my work, shout my praises. The church is not the Oscars. The church is not about worshiping the pastor, the worship director, or each other. The church community is about worshiping God, the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Matthew 22, 37 through 38 says this, Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Worship, the praise and exaltation of God. We as God's people come together as the community, come together as the church to brag on his greatness. We assemble together to draw our attention to who God is and what he has done. It's not about satisfying our own feelings. It may come with it. We may feel really good. But when it comes down to it, it's about him. The worship can happen spontaneously all throughout your day when you are by yourself because we have direct access to God through Jesus Christ. God desired for it to happen also in a community. It's a difference between us singing happy birthday. I won't mention whose birthday is today, but me singing happy birthday just all by myself to one person and all of Carnegie Hall singing happy birthday. Both are very special. But the magnitude of God's children coming together to worship and praise his name together has to make him feel so good. It's like when my two boys get along. I feel so good. Separately as one, it's nice too when they behave, but when they behave together, I'm such a proud mom. It's that feeling. God says, I want my people together to worship. Some people say, I can do church on my own. Yeah, you can worship God on your own. But God desires for it to be together. Hebrews 10:25 says this, And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of the return is drawing near. What's the application? Community, the church, gathers together to brag on God. So when you arrive on Sunday morning, think about what your intentions are. If in your mind you're thinking, how am I going to be fed spiritually today? Change it. Just change it to, how am I going to worship the Almighty God today? So when you arrive and you say, I wonder if they're going to sing that one song because I really love that song, change it to, I wonder if my heart is right and ready to give my worship to God. Changes our thinking. It flips our thoughts. It takes the focus off of us and puts it to him, the reason we assemble, to worship the Almighty God. When we worship him with our heart and our mind and our soul and our strength, doesn't matter what version the pastor reads from. It does not matter if we have drums or not. It does not matter if we include 5 hymns or no hymns. It does not matter if an organ is used. God desires that the sincerity of our worship not the components of it. Our community, when we gather, when we belong to the Lord, needs to include authentic worship solely on Him. I was starting to think, okay, we're not a country club. We're not American Idol. We are not the Oscars. Is there something out there that could motivate us that we kind of could be like? And this is what I came up with.
Bring it in here, people. Let's make it happen. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Well, then let's do it. Yeah.
Something that no one else really has ever done, especially in television. And to know that we changed the lives of over 200 families, it makes you proud.
Thank you so much.
We're going to build this house, we're going to change their lives, and let's build it with a heck of a lot of love.
We will do the impossible this week.
We will succeed!
When we started the show, the very first one, I remember being just so touched and overwhelmed by what we were doing. It just seemed like such a good thing.
My house is destroyed. And we're putting the words what it's going to mean to us. And we're
life-changing thing, and we haven't just changed the lives of 200 families, we've changed the lives of anyone who's ever donned a blue shirt. My hat's off to all of our brothers and to all the communities we've been in.
It's been an amazing journey. I've cherished every minute of it. That we, as a TV show, can actually make a difference is a pretty amazing thing. Accomplished.
I love you. I love you.
And the feeling of knowing that what we did was honest, it was real, and it made a difference.
Say goodbye, everybody!
I can't watch that show. The church is like Extreme Home Makeover. The church, our community, must respond to needs. Luke 10, 25 through 37. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question: Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, "Well, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," Jesus told them. "Do this and you will live." The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, probably just to be sure, who exactly is my neighbor? You know, who do I need to love this way?" Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest, good for him, lucky, a priest came by, came along, and when he saw the man lying there, the priest crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. Temple assistant, another church worker, walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along. This was, this is trouble. This isn't who we associate with. These are the people we hate, all because of, it's a long story, captivity and sleeping and marrying together and blah, blah, blah. We don't like these people. And when they saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you next time I'm here." "Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits?" Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." God sees no limits to who should be considered our neighbor. The church, our community, has responsibility to perform acts of Christian love and compassion for both believers and non-believers. Jesus cared about the problems of all the needy and all the suffering. The Good Samaritan, although he had nothing to do with the assault on the man going down to Jericho, it wasn't his mess up, it wasn't his mistake, it wasn't his problem. He took it upon himself to care for the victim's needs, even at a personal cost, even at an inconvenience and possible danger to himself. God links love for him and love for people together. So what's the application here for our community? Are we going to be able to meet every need in the entire world? Probably not. Now, I say probably not, because I am fully aware of the potential of this congregation. And that's why I won't say absolutely not. We may not meet and care for every need, but I know that this community, if we hear of a need arise, we take action. Because we belong to Christ, because we are in this community, we respond the way Christ would want us to respond. And I don't know about you, but that is a pretty awesome community that I always want to be a part of. The kind that takes time to show love and care. Doesn't it excite you that within 2 weeks of hearing that there's a family all across the street who has absolutely nothing, we have collected over 12 bags to them? We don't know them, but we heard that there was a need. I don't know if they're a Christian. I don't know if they're nice people. We heard of a need and you responded. Doesn't it excite you that Miss Peggy, who lost her daughter last year and was raising 4 kids on her own and could not work, that when we heard about the need, we raised money to cover the cost of the funeral? Doesn't that excite you? Doesn't it excite you when Courtney says a coworker of hers needs food, we fill a car of food and bring it to them? Doesn't it excite you that whenever there is a need that you hear about, the church, the community, rises up and responds to it? Doesn't it excite you that we have had hundreds of prayer requests and we have about seen hundreds of prayers answered? Look at Phil. He's alive. He returned from Haiti alive, all right? We prayed for that. And there he is. He's alive. Sometimes when you do this, it means getting your hands dirty. And sometimes it means pulling on your heartstrings. A lot of times people don't want to get involved because it hurts. And you don't want to know people's hurt. You don't want to know what they're going through. And sometimes it pulls on your heartstrings. And sometimes it's an inconvenience. And sometimes it cuts into your family time and your leisure time. Sometimes it does. But the beautiful thing about community is it comes full circle. And those times when you need it most, it's there for you too. Christian community is a group of people who belong to God through Jesus Christ. It's the church. The community comes with being a Christian. It's a package deal. Now, I know some of you are saying, you know, I know Christians who don't partake in the church or Christian community, and I think that boils down, this is a side note, I think it boils down to one of two reasons. One, the church hasn't been operating the way God intended the community to operate. And the person got burnt or hurt, and they're afraid to try it again. Or two, the person isn't operating the way God intended he or she to act. And when the church responded the way God wanted them to, they got hurt and walked away. But let's go back to us here, because if you're sitting in a church today, my guess is you value community, Christian community. So I want you to think about the groups of Christian community that you hang out with. Whether you are worshiping, praying together, playing together, or serving together, this could be your small group, this could be your church, your local church group, wherever you attend, your service groups where you serve together, the youth siders, the youth of our church, or the worship team. How is your community operating? Do you have a country club mentality? When's the last time you invited someone to participate in a community of believers? It's not a close group. It's not just because you're comfortable with this group. When's the last time you invited somebody to participate in community? In your group, is there fellowship? Do you serve one another? Do you edify one another? Do you carry each other's burdens? Do you rejoice when there's joy, and do you cry when there's sorrow? When's the last time you called somebody out on their sin in love? And when's the last time you received somebody calling you out on your sin in love? Do you have the Oscars mentality? When you show up on Sunday morning, or you gather together in your community of believers, what's your focus? Is it on God, other people, or yourself? Do you have an extreme home makeover mentality or a spa mentality? Are you ready to respond to people's needs, or are you waiting to see if your needs are met first? Where are you at with that one? When community, when the church operates the way God intended it to be, it is the most beautiful, powerful, transformational, loving community in the entire world. My question for you this morning is, what is stopping you from falling into community? Heavenly Father, it is so great that you're the head of this community, because you know what you're doing, frankly, and I appreciate that. And Father, I know sometimes you don't just fall into community because you got some hurts and you got some pains and you have some insecurities. And Father, you desired for your church to be a place, Father, that is so welcoming, that is so open. Father, you desire for your community to be edifying and uplifting. Father, you desire for your community to brag on you. And Father, you desire for your community to meet the needs of the people, because you have knitly twined our love for you and our love for others in one big package. Lord, I pray for each of us individually that we would find communities that do this. I pray, as one of the leaders at Northside, that Northside would be a community that does this. I pray, Father, that for the person who is out there sitting on an island right now, that you would just pull their island to shore, because they can't do it right now on their own. And I pray that they would experience authentic, real, belonging to God community. Thank you, Father, that you did not intend for us to do life by ourselves or solo, because it would be so hard. Thank you, Father, that not only do we care for one another's burdens, but you carry the entire load when asked to. Take the burdens today. It's in your name we pray, God. Amen.